I want you to cast your mind back to a year ago. We were beginning to hear stories and news reports were coming out of a large Chinese city that, to be honest, I had never even heard of. A strange virus had begun to appear in the city of Wuhan. On the 25th of January, Australia reported its first cases, one in Victoria and three in New South Wales. By the 30th of January, today, a year ago, the virus had spread to more than 20 different countries. But it had not yet appeared in either Italy or in Iran, the city or the countries that would become the new focal points. Everything was still kind of in a state of flux. The disease itself still didn't have an official name other than being this novel coronavirus. The borders were still open, and the WHO was still trying to make sense of all of this. Everything, of course, began to rapidly unfold. By the 27th of February, the Australian government had made the declaration that this was a pandemic of national significance, and a couple of weeks later, the WHO also made the same declaration of that it was an international pandemic. And of course, we were given the name of this virus, or at least of the disease, as being COVID-19. One of the things that we began to see and to experience during those days was there were lots of different voices that were competing for our attention. There were posts that were made on social media, watching and describing runs on supermarkets in other countries. And suddenly we began to see the same thing happening here in our country and in our local supermarkets. And of course, the result of that was the ABC's The Ballad of the Dunny Roll, which is certainly worth watching again. All of that, we began to also see, you know, lots of conspiracy theories telling us that this wasn't an actual thing, that it was just a hoax, or there were lots of, you know, homemade remedies that were suggested as to if you gargled certain substances in hot water, then you would be protected from this virus. Along with all of that, I know that I experienced this deep gratitude for being in this country, for living in what we sometimes despise being part of, the Greater Sydney, that we were able to have a certain sense of safety and protection during this time. Because the reality is that left to our own devices, human beings, especially in groups, are rather notorious at making decisions. We're just very bad at getting things right. When you look through the pages of Scripture, you see the people of Israel, for example, coming together at certain times to make a collective decision. But the two best examples that come to mind is Israel in the wilderness. And what do they do when they come together? They decide that it's going to be a good idea to break the first two commandments and make a golden calf. Or they make the decision that, I don't think Moses is leading us in the right direction. I think it's better for us to head back to the flesh pots of Egypt. Or when you look in the Gospels, the only time that the apostles are able to agree on something is in the scene in the garden when they all fled and deserted Jesus. We're not good at making decisions. We're not good at listening to these voices. And in society, we know that just because something is legal doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. So we need other voices. We need to be able to hear through the noise sometimes. And the gospel and the word of God is able to provide that noise when there's this stampede of humans going in one direction. It's usually worth pondering what the word of God, what the voice of the Spirit might be calling us to do. In the gospel today, we see Jesus teaching in the synagogue with authority. He's there at this little village that he makes his own, the village of what we call Capernaum, or what the Jews would have called Capernaum. And there he teaches, not like the scribes, The scribes would be a bit like me. They would say, well, as Rabbi so-and-so used to say, or as the prophets would say. You know, they would have to quote from other authors in order to provide their own authority. But Jesus was different. Jesus was able to cut through all of that to come to the very heart of the matter. He was able to teach with that personal authority because he knew God through the life of prayer that we see so often in the Gospels. We'll see it in just a few verses after the passage that we have to the end of this first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus goes off into a quiet place to be with the Father and pray. That was the source of his authority. I mean, authority has that sense of being what are the author's rights. And Jesus knew the ultimate author, the author of all life, the creator of the universe, the Father himself. And as the Holy One of God, the demon in the Gospel today, is the first voice to make this declaration after the narrator himself, who speaks in that very first line and then remains silent, doesn't provide any clear indication himself. He lets all the characters, he lets all the apostles, he lets all the different people that we encounter in this Gospel to call us into that same decision. And the final voice is the one when Jesus is there on the cross, and it's a foreigner, a pagan, the Roman centurion, who, in looking at Jesus dead on the cross, is able to say, truly, this man was a son of God. We're invited into that same experience, that same encounter. Sure, with the signs and wonders, but primarily with the teaching ministry of Jesus. Again, as we'll see in a couple of weeks' time in the Gospel of the sixth Sunday in this season. We're invited to reflect. What does God mean? What does Jesus mean for us? How do we cut through all the rubbish, all the other voices, all those other things that get in the way, to find that space in our own lives to hear the author's right over my life? How do I discern the movement of the Spirit? How do I cut through all those other voices to find that space that I need to be able to gently, quietly be challenged by that word? Because that's what God is always calling us and always inviting us into, a deeper moment when we can simply rest in the truth of who God is and the delight that God has with us. Last week we heard about those first disciples being called there on the beach to come and follow. That's the way. That's the way that we're able to experience and encounter God, by following in his footsteps, by allowing the dust of the rabbi as he walks along the dusty path in front of us to cover us, to gently allow us to experience that closeness and the reality of who we are. Don't let all the voices that surround us be the only truth you listen to. Allow God, allow the love of God, allow the voice of Jesus to cut through all of that and to claim his authority over our lives. To allow him to speak that truth and to bring that same freedom and that same liberation into our own lives today, just as he did for the demonic in the Gospel tonight. He wants to cut through. He wants to announce the good news of his love into our lives. So let's indeed take time this week to let God speak that love, and speak that life, and speak that authority over us and into our lives today.